Blog Talk Radio.
Well, Blog Talk Radio, good morning, good morning, good morning. I pray that all can hear me and all is well. Met. So, good morning. You all alive?
Good morning.
Amen.
Good.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Needed somebody. Yes. Good morning. Good. Yes. All right. Praise God. Praise God. We're just going to listen to our little song of worship while our overseer is navigating the joys of early morning. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Holy Spirit, we love you. Yes, we do.
The Spirit of God is in this place. The Spirit of God is strong in this place. I feel His anointing strong here. If you might have been expecting something, just open your spirit to receive. Whether you're watching us through the networks, open your spirit to receive. This song is entitled Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I love you. You guide me all things.
The Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, yeah.
Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, you're more real than the air I breathe. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Worship with me this morning for King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lord God Almighty. I thank you for joining us. I thank God for the opportunity to have fellowship with the Friday, our family of learners. Praise the Lord. We thank him for it's his will for our life, his presence in our life. And as we are going through Christ and crisis, the need to reclaim Jesus in these times of great turmoil and calamity and distractions and a lot of things that are rather overwhelming if you do not have the Lord on your side. Battles in the spirit realm that are taking place even more fiercely now than ever before because we are much more informed world globally. We're more connected. We're more influenced by things that before we didn't even know existed in the 50s and in the 60s, those that are on the line that can remember back that far. And the things that happened in the world, we weren't really aware of them immediately, maybe a week or two, or maybe never did we, unless we studied it or sought to look it up, because it just was not broadcast, nor was it the conversation of our neighborhood, if you will. And now the world is our neighborhood. And you can't turn something on, but you see something that's happening somewhere in the world, and it comes right into your hand, in your lap, in your living room, in your wherever you are, it's right there in your car. Immediately, you have access to it, or rather, it has access to you. And so in this environment, in this time, a technological generation and shift, a paradigm, things that just never were before are now. And so we were told, so maybe 2-3 years ago, the word of the Lord, it comes out of his word in Joshua. It said, you're about to go, you've never been there before. Never did we realize how true that was going to be for us. We had never experienced leadership in America like we experienced. We had never experienced the after effect of negative rhetoric and conversation. We had never experienced a pandemic of the nature that we had that literally shut the world down in a week. Down. The world was silent. I remember my grandson had shared that he had gone out and he had gone to downtown. It was like on a Friday or Saturday. And he said it was like a ghost town. There was no one anywhere, you know, in the busy metropolis of Chicago. And so we have never been here before. We had never had to shut down worship because we could not gather. We had never shut down our families or shut out our families and not be able to interact with them on a physical plane. And those were in hospitals. Never before could you not go and see someone or be with them or bring comfort to those that were ending their time here on earth. So it was a place we had never been before. It is a place that we have never been before. Technology has never been like this before. The things that we are able to do are just mind-boggling. And there's so many things that are out there that we don't even know what they are. But they are things that are being developed that are going to impact us in a way like never before. And so as we come into this place of never before, it is also a land for us that gives us opportunity, to voice abroad in a very powerful way and a very invasive way of the truth of the God of glory, the truth of Jesus Christ, the Savior, Redeemer, the King, and the one who through we must go in order to avoid the inevitable wages of sin, which is death. And it has to be something that passion, that brings a passion in the heart of God's people to share this with others so that they don't miss their opportunity for eternal life or to avoid some of this anguish that affects the mind and the emotions of people that have people killing themselves or worse, raging on each other. And so we want to be the catalyst in this. We want to be the influencer. God has put us here to be the influencer in all of these areas, bringing truth and hope, bringing a hope to a people who have become so violent that death and suffering almost just is a common day accepted way of life. You know, not that we embrace it, but we accept it. We do not exercise the authority and power that God has given us. But we have to understand that in this time, we are here for such a time as this, for such a thing as this. And so we are arming ourselves with the strategy of the Lord. And that strategy includes, or actually a strategy starts and ends on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so to revisit his word, to look at them in a way we've never embraced them before, to hear scriptures that we've quoted and known since childhood, and now the revelation of the fullness of them is being revealed to us because we desire to do the will of the Father, because the power of God is being released through us into this chaos of a world, into this evil world, into this troubled world, into this oppressive world, into this very selfish and cruel world. And so as we arm ourselves and as we position ourselves at the feet of Jesus, he will teach us. He will teach us the way of victory. He'll teach us the way of overcoming. And he is the model for what we are to be in the earth realm now. For the things that are existing now are also things that situations and circumstances that Christ met when he walked the earth. It was a time where the religious community was very separate from, or wasn't separate from, the governing community because they had sort of made a pact, if you will, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Romans to dwell together, but with the Romans being the authority over the children of Israel, and yet giving them some sort of power, a power that was then abused by the religious leaders because they became guilty or greedy for power and authority. So when Jesus Christ came, establish the kingdom of the living God, these individuals did not want their position jeopardized, so they did not embrace the Lord God. And so the things of Jesus were ostracized, and he himself was lied on and abused and eventually brought to Calvary. But we want to realize that in doing this, he was able to reach the common folk, the people like you and me, those people who were at the other end of the oppression, at the other end of the tax collectors, at the other end of the slave laboring. They were there, and they heard a hope, just like those that today, they don't have a hope. All they have are fears of always someone wanting to destroy them, to oppress them, to take advantage of them. And so as a result, there is a hopelessness that is like a cancer that's growing throughout the world. And this hopelessness must be met with the hope of Jesus Christ. And it can't be met with the hope of Jesus Christ if we are not releasing it in the earth realm. And we have to release it in a way that is beyond what we used to do, in a way that is forceful, bold, and authoritative. And we have not always done that. I don't know all of who may have been on Wednesday, Wow Wednesday. Our Apostle KP brought the topic of intercessory faith and how that intercessory faith should be expressed as we pray for our enemies. And so this was her topic for this past week. Last week, it still was intercessory prayer as you pray for one another, interceding, and what that looks like. And that is what this book is calling for, because that is what Christ called for. He called for us to intercede for the world on the world's behalf for those that are in the trouble, in the troubles of this world, to intercede for them with our own faith. That interceding faith brings into our spirit man a power and a passion that will overcome any persecution that will arise, and persecution will arise. It will. Christ said it would, and as he gave the, what do they call it, the manifesto for the kingdom, which is in Matthew 5, 6, 7, where he gave, this is what the kingdom of God is about. He shared the fact that you're going to be persecuted. They persecuted him and crucified him. Need we think that these things are not going to come upon us? But we are to stand as good soldiers, just as Stephen did when they were stoning him. He kept his eye on the prize. He kept his eyes on Christ. He kept his hope in the promises that God has released in the church and that have come in its full power because Christ shed his blood to empower those promises to manifest in our life. So we are responsible, first of all, to know what the promises are so that when they manifest, we can embrace them and use them as ambassadors for Christ and share him in the world through this boldness, through the protection, through the promises of these, through the power of these, the promises that he has covenant with us. And to understand what that relationship looks like as we walk in natural, we are being lifted up in the spirit realm. We are seated with Christ in the heavenly. So when he's at the right hand of the Father interceding for us, we are also at the right hand of Christ, and we should be interceding for the world, praying for the world with intercessory faith that believes. It believes. You know, we do these, what do you call it, you know, these little, I keep wanting to call it mottos, you know, but it's I believe God. But it's more than just something written on a book or on a T-shirt or on a book bag or whatever the models, wherever they are. We must believe God. Our lives must reflect the belief that we have in him and in his word, and as a result stand with a boldness for him so that we become the ambassadors that are the peacemakers, which is the topic for this week. It is peacemaker, the peacemaker. We looked at who is your neighbor. We looked at God's, not description, but his, who he said was our neighbor. We looked at the power, the question of power, who has it, and how is it to be allowed to go forth. We are to question what isn't true. We are to make sure that the truth, I don't care who's in power, recognize the truth of God, and that this power is not just for a democracy. This power is for the kingdom of God. This power is for those who would be less and serve, who would be the servant and not the lording it over people. And the truth, what is the truth? And the truth is to be embraced, but rather it has to be, it has to be declared. Someone has to declare the truth without a fear, no matter who is not being truthful, no matter what lie is being accepted and released, the truth and the people of God should be the ones to declare what is true and what is not. And then the question of image, that if we are, since, not that, since we are all made in the image of God, how dare we prejudice against anybody? How dare we put forth rules and regulations and laws or even conceptual living that has preferences or that value one group of people over another, or that takes into consideration the needs of one group over another group. And so these things are the unjust things that are the target for the ambassadors of Christ. And so we get to the peacemakers. If someone in the Voice Bible can look up Isaiah 58:6-9. I really would like that read. I was trying to get it on the computer, but I'm scared I'll end up hanging up on my phone. But Isaiah 58:6-9. Isaiah 58:6-9 in the Voice version of the Bible. And also, I would like to share the fact that yesterday was the 21st. Between the 20th and the 21st, in our Promises of God calendar, a very powerful time of meditation on Ephesians and a prayer as it relates to it. And I wanted to read it, but again, I can't change it on my computer. Go get it, because I'm scared I'll end up hanging up on you guys. But I encourage you to get it and read it and meditate on it. And there's so many things that God will reveal of the need and of the strategy that he has given us for a time such as this. Does anybody have that Isaiah scripture yet?
I got it. Isaiah.
Okay. You say Isaiah 58?
Yes, ma'am. 6 through 9.
59. Okay. 6. Okay. Verse 6. Know what I want from God is the one for that. Is this what you call a fast, a day, the eternal one, fast, good and proper? No. What I want in a fast is this, to liberate those tied down and held back by injustice, to lighten the load of those heavily burdened, to free the oppressed and shatter every type of oppression. A fast for me involves sharing your food with people who have none, giving those who are a space in your home, giving clothes to those who need them, and not neglecting your own family. Verse 8, then your light will break out like the warm golden rays of a rising sun. In an instant, you will be healed. Your righteousness will precede and protect you. The glory of the Eternal will follow and defend you. Verse 9. Then, when you do call out, "My God, where are you?" the Eternal One will answer, "I am here, I am here." If you remove the yoke of oppression from the downtrodden among you, stop accusing others and do away with mean and inflammatory speech.
Yes. And I pray that everybody will get that and just read it maybe once a week. Because this is what we are supposed to do. Because this is what Christ, he released the manifesto of heaven. And that is the set of, what do you call it? This is what heaven's about. This is the way heaven. This is the way the children of God are supposed to live their lives. And we are ambassadors. And in that scripture, he is saying, when you do this, what happens is for everybody around you, they will feel the warmth as the sun shining bright, radiating on them. That means it dispels the gloom and the heaviness and the burden and the oppression and the hate and the illness. He said, and then you'll be healed. He said, you'll be healed. And then when you say, "My God, why?" God himself will answer you and tell you, "Roberta, I'm right here. I am here." He had, as the scripture says, you go forth in righteousness and truth. It paves the way for you. That's that standing up for the truth, standing up for the right way that things should happen, no matter what. The image, whether it's a person, the oppression of different races and people, he said your righteousness and truth will pave the way for you. Christ said, even in the 23rd Psalm, I can't remember 23rd Psalm, come on. Anyway, you will walk in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Because of Jesus Christ, you'll walk in that path. And when we do it for him, then we are in him, and his power will be released. And then it says, and God himself will have your back. You can't get in a better position than that. And so I wanted to share that that scripture because it gives feet to what we're learning, what we're seeing, what's being declared, this intercessory faith. It gives feet to that. This is what a fast is. This is what the people should be doing all the time. Our lives should be a fast, a sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable, because it's just a reasonable service. And these are the things that are reasonable service. It's a reasonable service because that's the kind of that has been given to us. That's the kind of power that Christ released through his suffering to us so that we would be empowered to help alleviate the suffering of others through the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we are called to be peacemakers. And so often this Ephesians 5, does anybody have the calendar that they could read? Okay, that's okay.
No.
But I do
have to scroll. I can pull it up on the computer. You talked about the promo calendar?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. I quote between our 20th and 21st, I believe. But the thing is, we've been given some weaponry. That calendar is one because it's releasing the promises, the power of the promises. And that's how we're strengthened and encouraged. That's how we are equipped to do these things to reclaim Jesus. That's how we do it. Excuse me. So today's offering from Reclaiming Jesus is speaking of us being the peacemakers. And in Matthew 5 and 9, he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." And so the author says, what does it mean to be a peacemaker? Is it the same thing as being pacifist, or is pacifist too passive? How do you go about being peacemakers at the interpersonal, family, organizational, community, national, or even global level? Of the various virtues, Jesus' name and the Beatitudes, why is it the peacemakers specifically are called the children of God? And so we want to think about that. We are the children of God. We are peacemakers. We are ambassadors, the ambassador to different countries. They are the bridge between those countries. They are the for mutual interaction. They are the starting point for, what do they call it? Conflict resolution. Resolution. They are the source of understanding one country for another, because we don't always think the same, and we don't have the same customs. We don't have the same ways and that sort of thing. And so the ambassador, that's his job. That's what an ambassador does, and that's what we do. And so it is the question of the peacemakers. And so I wanted to ask everybody, can you name anybody, just be thinking about it and then just chime right in the Bible, other than Christ, that was a peacemaker? Can you think of anybody in the Bible? Who was a peacemaker? I'm a Bible scholar.
Daniel.
I love it. Daniel.
Samuel. Also Samuel.
Okay, so you one saying Daniel, one saying Samuel. Now, I can see Daniel because he was a bridge between the children of Israel and the king that had, overtaken that country.
Abigail, she was
there
a peacemaker.
There you go. That's a peacemaker. A very
she was
specific,
a peacemaker.
Tell us why.
It was a story in the Bible about her being a peacemaker. It was about, I think, I know David, and What was it? Mm-hmm. Oh, let me get it. Nabal, N-A-V-A-L.
That's her husband. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And his wife was Abigail. Wow, that's interesting. As I pulled it up, 1 Samuel chapter 25, and we've been doing that, the 1 Samuel 2nd chapter.
Yes.
2nd Samuel for this month of October.
Reading, yes.
But,
yes.
Yes, Abigail was the peace of he intended to fight and kill Nabal.
Mm-hmm.
And, hold on,
you got it.
Let me just, I'm trying to remember the part of the story. Here it goes. Okay. There's a Bible story about peacemaking. It's about David and Nabal and his wife, Abigail. Abigail was the peacemaker. She stopped David when he was heading out to fight with Nabal. And Nabal insulted David men who had helped and protected Nabal's shepherd. And when David heard about this, he became very angry. And he put on his sword, and he got together 400 men, and he intended to fight and kill Nabal. But Abigail, the peacemaker, heard about what was going to happen, and she knew there would be trouble, so she gathered a large amount of fruit, sheep and bread, and hurried to David and to give him the food. And she wanted David and his men to know she was grateful they had helped her husband. She also asked him to forgive her husband and herself. Abigail, she reasoned with David. She helped him see how important it was for him to stop. Abigail said Nabal had done wrong, but it would also be wrong for David to do harm to in return. And later, when David became king, he would be a better king and a better man because he had not taken revenge on Nabal. David listened to Abigail's advice. He was sure God had sent her to keep him from doing wrong. David thanked Abigail and didn't fight with Nabal. And it reminds us what the Bible says, vengeance is mine, said the Lord, I will repay. And so that's the story.
That's it. And now, and one of the things I want us to see in this is David gave up his right. He had a right. Okay, to go and against Nabal. He had a right because Nabal was wrong. And
right.
So often this is where we give up the right for the wrong. And I go, that don't make sense. But he gave up his right to avenge his army because he wasn't just avenging himself. He was defending his men who he was trying to get food for. He was serving his men because they were hungry, and he was their leader, so he was seeking to help feed the hungry, if you will, okay? And the one that had it refused, and he had helped Nabal because his soldiers had defended Nabal's shepherds in the field and kept other people from stealing his sheep. But at any rate, so we see here where, even for Abigail, her husband was an abusive husband. And she could have just said, well, fine, let him come and kill him. And she would be free. But she chose to have an intercessory faith. She really jeopardized her own life in going to David on behalf of her husband, who really was wrong. And that's the kind of peacemaker God wants us to be. Jeopardize your life for someone that's wrong. Truth and mercy can go forward because you don't know what it's going to bring about in the future, which for David, it brought about for him not having to shed that man's blood as being king, he was able to be a more powerful king without, what do you call it? A shadow, a cloud hanging over his kingship. And so I think that that was the first. Actually, I have to think real long and hard for me to come up with one. Now, someone said Daniel, and someone else said Samuel. So I need you to defend the Daniel. What did Daniel do? The one that said that.
Daniel was a prayer. You know, even though they were in captivity, he was always praying for the peace, you know,
mm-hmm.
for the people.
Okay. Okay, so he was an innocent friend. I want you to think about this, excuse me, as it related to Daniel. Daniel was mm-hmm. in a position where he didn't have to help his captives. Okay,
right.
He was really a slave. Okay, and yet he knew God. And his way of sharing God, Daniel and the lion's den. Okay, I've got to know which story is which story. Okay, so he stood up. He stood up for God. He stood up for the kingdom of God. He stood up for his faith in the face of persecution. So I believe that for what he was doing, he was showing forth as an ambassador to God that no matter what, you know, my God is worthy to be praised. And as a result, his living and his life caused them to realize that God, Jehovah, was the true and the living God. So he definitely was a witness, and he was an intercessory prayer. And so I think that as we look at this, there's the intercessory prayer, and then there's the intercessory faith, and they're separate. And one takes you a little bit higher, that faith that's interceding for someone that's wrong or someone that has wronged you will put you in a place where you then become more compassionate. You become more understanding, more long-suffering. So you develop within you, or actually what is developed in you, are the fruit of the Spirit when you use intercessory prayer. One of the things that the author shares is, everybody can intercede for people, you know, your family and those you love, and for people that, you intercede for people so that your life will be better, okay? And so you pray for them because they will make your life better. But what about praying for someone that's making your life miserable? What about interceding on that kind of level? One of the things that the author shares is because the culture today is regularly at war with one another. And people around the world, you wake up to threats against your very existence, whether you're black or white. You're brown. There's somebody that's at war against you. There's somebody that wakes up every day with a mindset that would oppress you in some way or another. Those are the people that this special attention is given to Jesus for those that wake up and they pray for those that would use them, hurt them, harm them, that are their enemies, that have done it already. And so, excuse me, often we want to, it's like what David was going to do, he was going to get revenge to himself. He was going to fix it. He was going to respond to violence and negativity with more violence. And that's what we're seeing here, that God's kingdom doesn't necessarily come by our physical violence. Now, I know it says the kingdom of God cometh by violence, the violence taketh by force. But I think we're going to come to understand that violence is in the spirit realm. It's not necessarily on the natural. There may be times when we are called to fight. And that's why I love the song, Holy Spirit. You know, you will guide us. He will guide us. If it's the fighting time, you'll know because he'll tell you. However, the fight is always in the spirit realm. And I know that we were sharing in the beginning, it is that, you know, this is a time of heightened spiritual activity that's very, very, very negative. It is really an onset. And they often say that October is the time of really great demonic activity. And a lot of people say, well, yeah, because of Halloween. No, Halloween is because October is that kind of a month. And the reason October is that kind of month, one of the reasons where there is heightened demonic activity is because October, it isn't called October in the Jewish calendar, but the month that we call October is their new year. It's the beginning of their new year. So the enemy is strategizing against us. And so they are in the, if you will, that's their unholy convocation. How is that? Where the evil spirits and such are preparing and strategizing. They're getting their assignments to go forth. Plus, it is the time that comes before the birth of Christ, trying to divert and to distract people from a hope and making them hopeless. But God was sending the hope. And so that month of October, this month of October, any month of October, is a heightened time of spiritual wickedness in high places. And so we need to be aware of the spirit realm, and that's where our warfare is to always, always be fighting. So even though a lot of fights, you know, we can look at them, and they're not successful. They're not, because sometimes it's us trying to force God's hand in a time, in, you know, in our time. But we must patiently and humbly wait for God, that meek and poor spirit, merciful, and the peacemakers. Of course, God demands, does not merely challenge the bloodshed of revolution. Peacemaker means not only living in peace, but bringing harmony among others. This role requires us to work for reconciliation with spouses, neighbors, and all people, in far as men, because it says bringing harmony among people. And fighting and war does not bring harmony. One win and one loses, but they're not on one accord when they lose at all. It's just one is usurping it over the other. Now, I believe that that was one of the things, I guess I used to always wonder in the Old Testament when they went out to war, and God always told them to kill everything of the enemy. You know, women, children, the cows, the cattle, and everything. They were to destroy everything. Because otherwise we have a situation of conflict. It will always be a conflict. If you don't kill everything, then the ones that you didn't, the kids or the wives or whatever, have the propensity to retaliate or to live in bitterness, to be against you. And God wanted none of that. He wanted to totally destroy. And that was his instructions. And oftentimes the kings didn't do it because they felt, well, you know, we'll just keep their cows, or we didn't want to, you know, do this, we'll do that. And he says, you know, that's that scripture that's in the calendar, and it says, you know what God's will is. You know, don't lean in your own understanding, but know what God's will is, and his will is best, because he knows, and you've never been this way before. So you must follow his instructions.
Mr. David, so,
on the calendar?
Between the 20th and the 21st.
October?
Yes, October. Meditate on Ephesians 5.
October. Okay. Mm-hmm. October 20th.
Well, is it between?
Ma'am?
Meditation on Ephesians 5.
You want it, both of them, the scripture be, that is the same day.
No, just the
prayer. Ephesians 5. Your will, O Lord, be done, not mine. Since you did bleed for me, and now as you intercede, each day I simply plead your will be done. Eternal God of love, I welcome you into my life. Surrender my heart, mind, and soul to you. Teach me, O Lord, to walk in your love, to learn of your will as your child of light. Each day I pray you give me strength to resist all temptations that come my way. Lord Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit so I may know your goodness, truth, and righteousness, and help me to discern what does not please you, Lord. O God, encourage me ever to submit to others in love, out of reverence and obedience to Christ, as I seek to imitate your likeness. I praise your name, Lord God Almighty, with my whole heart in psalms and hymns, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let it breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Let the breath of the Spirit now breathe on me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so you see where you keep seeking God's will, not your revenge or your understanding of where it should be or your understanding of how conflicts should be resolved. You know, I just love that if you just look at each one of the segments of that prayer, it is being addressed what's in Ephesians 5. I encourage everybody to read it and realize that in this walk, okay, we are not our own. So we don't understand. We've never been this way before. We don't understand. God does. So when he says be a peacemaker, it's not just be passive and be kind. I know it says as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. But it says those who are peacemakers, you have to have a peaceable temper and endeavor to promote peace in others. These are very active words. You have to promote, you know, who studies, you have to study to be quiet and to live peaceably with all men who are so far from sowing seeds, who are so far from sowing the seed of discord between any of their fellow creatures, that they both studiously avoid contention themselves and labor to extinguish it whenever it prevails. To extinguish it. So when you see it, you put it out. You fight against it, but you put it out. How do you put it out? You put it out with truth. You put it out with God's truth. You put it out with love and with gentleness, with patience, with long-suffering, with self-control, with your joy. You can put out the seeds of discord between individuals. It says, laying themselves out to heal the differences of brothers and neighbors. Laying yourself out. That means you become, you lay yourself out to to heal the differences. You be the healing balm. You. You, and to reconcile contending parties that are at war, to bring them reconciliation. Will God give us the, from the shedding of his blood, the feet, so that we, it would be, our feet are shed with the gospel of reconciliation, to bring reconciliation not just between man and God, but between men, between one another, to restore peace whenever it is broken, as well as to preserve it when it's there. Then we are called the children of God, because that's what Christ did. And so there's preserving it. There's the promoting it. There's studying to be quiet, and that's addressing our own self, our own preferences, our own judgments, and our own insight. You know, so how do we preserve peace? You could say, well, you know, I don't do this, I don't do that, or, you know, but what do you actively do to become that bridge, other than pray, having that intercessory of sometimes that intercessory faith will go and get someone that's not a friend or not a pleasant person or not a person that you normally would, but go and get them and meet a need that they may have, reconciling them to God's truth. So how do we preserve it? How do we treat our enemies? How do you treat your enemies? What words do you release over your enemies? Insight?
It's everything you just said, Overseer, as well as showing, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, which you said. And it's interesting, my two sisters, we had this conversation last night, and it's very interesting you were sharing this, because there was a situation that occurred. But I found a letter that my mom had wrote to me about my sister, and one of my sisters, just to say we never was always getting along. I'm going to just say it like that, right? But when the letter at the end, I'm going to just read the end, it said so much about that. But, the letter was real simple, but it was saying, I'm writing this letter, and it was dated May 1309, and she was writing it 3:43 in the morning. But she dated it Patricia. And it was really simple, but it was what she was saying. She said, I'm writing this letter to you to let you know I have been talking to your sister. I know you say that, you know, she don't answer her house phone or whatever. But her answering machine, she don't know how to get her messages. Then she stated, so much about that, I'm writing today to say it's time to let these petty things go. We need to let go and let God. Forget and forgive. Where would any one of us be if he hadn't loved us so much and forgave us? If God can forgive who was sinless, how much so can't we forgive? One of the commandments. And that just shut everything down. Because if God can, who gave his only begotten son, Jesus, to die on our sins when we were so filthy and, you know, and saved by the grace, my goodness. And through that, our youngest sister was the one to you know, just as we talk as sisters, you know, it was just a blessing. But the end was all of us on one accord, all of us about, you know, coming together, you know, and just trusting and believing that God, he's doing it now. You know, it ain't about all the past. And this was 09, and here is this 2021. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And thanking God that God is, he can take away confusion and distraction. And it, and you know, it could have been just a little thing. It was, you know, just something really minor. I want a birthday party, and I want you to come, and it's $600. And I'm like, unfortunately, that's, I can't do that. I'm in the moving business right now. But God knew. But it wasn't even about that as much as my youngest sister was able to help the two oldest sisters to get on one accord, and then us to come in agreement to be, she was the peacemaker. You know what I mean? She was helping us to realize the right way and to listen to one another and not to not answer each other's calls or whatever, and just to show love regardless. And God brought that letter. It just, he just showed me where it was and told me to read it. And it was just a blessing because Mama is still, as a pastor, is still just sharing and helping us to come together as a family.
Amen. Amen. Excellent. Excellent analogy and actually situation. And it shows, too, that in bringing this harmony, just like it brought it between your family, we can bring that kind of harmony within our social structure. And we can make social change. Most times it's because somebody wasn't listening to somebody or somebody misunderstood what somebody said. And sometimes it's just really not even that important, but you thought it was. And so that's one of the ways for conflict resolution that we have to come up with to counteract the violence, to counteract, to bring about a peace. We have to listen to each other. We have to learn each other. We have to expose ourselves to one another. And expose meaning, you know, go where you not normally wouldn't go if that's where the person is that you need to be a part of restoring the harmony in a thing. It's one thing to pray. Absolutely. That's a powerful, powerful a weapon that we have. But to actually go in the trenches where these people that we're praying about are, and bringing forth some solution because we listen, not going there telling and talking, but going there studying to be quiet and receiving the information from the Holy Spirit of how to go forward. You know, putting our energy and our expertise into resolving the conflicts that are going on to increase the number conflicts that may be resolved without violence. How can we do this without being so negative or without hating or without violence or without that oppression that just brings, you know, well, I'm right and you're wrong, so just deal with it, okay? You know, and that does not resolve anything. That actually creates more of a environment that is negative. And then people in a negative environment, they're going to respond negatively because that's all around. And it's just like being backed up against the wall. And you come out to, you know, to respond to ugly words of anybody just doesn't make any sense. Rather, we need to seek the higher ground, or we need to encourage others to seek the higher ground. How often has someone told you a story or a situation about an event that happened and they felt they were right and they give you the detail and they tell you what they said, and rather than agree with them, especially if it did not resolve the conflict, so rather than agree with them, offer a solution, well, you know, maybe what needs to happen is, and think, what would Jesus do? You know, yeah, you told them right. No, telling them off, it does not create a social environment of harmony. When we respond, we're to bring harmony, and not necessarily with each other, but with God, bringing them back in harmony with the Lord. And
And doing that definitely would bring harmony within their lives because they would receive a peace. And so that's part of our role as peacemakers, is to be instruments that bring together division, that diffuses danger. You know, well, it's dangerous for you to continue to think or act that way. And so you present a alternative. And that's what we get from the Holy Spirit. Creativity. Create a different environment or scenario. Create a different way of doing things. Be creative, because God can give us that creativity. And that's the things that will change society. I just want to read this one phrase. The church in the United States can offer a message of hope and reconciliation to a nation or people that is deeply divided with culturally differences. Too often, however, we are reflecting these different divisions of our culture rather than the unity we should have as the body of Christ. We come together to urge those who claim the name of Christ to put away from you all bitterness and wrath, anger and wrestling and slandering, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you, just as Mr. Pat just said. And the prayer for Ephesians 5, it says, if Christ shed his blood for you, the least you could do, okay, and he intercedes for you, is to do his will, is to see it his way, to put your bitterness away, put your anger or your wrestlings. You know, sometimes that's, I'm black and, you know, they held us slavery and, you know, the man does this and the man. Just put all that away, because no matter what the man did, they didn't do near as much as what God did for you. So if we walk in that kind of thankful in our heart, then we'll be kind one another. We'll be tender-hearted, and we will forgive one another just as God forgave us. When we think about what all God did for us and how forgiven us, it should make us forgive every slave owner, every cruel whatever, because we were just as undone to God as those people were to us, actually more so, okay? And so just as we were forgiven, we need to forgive. And then we need to forgive because, you know, if you don't, okay, then you won't be given. So we have to be committed that our dialogue with each other will reflect the spirit of the scriptures, where our posture towards one another is to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And that all of this is scripture, just James 1 and 19. We must pledge when we disagree, we will do so respectfully, without false imputing the other's motive. How many times when you're arguing with somebody and you'll say, and you're telling the story, well, they really didn't feel that way. You don't know that. You are falsely assuming that about a person. And it could be that they can't see. And they didn't know to speak to you because they can't see. But you saying, oh, they was just so up, they just walked right past me. You know, we impugn to them motives that are not true. Attacking the other's character or questioning other people's faith, and recognizing in humility that in our limited human opinion, we see but a poor reflection of what's really going on. And the Bible says that we will therefore be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Now, there is a, which I did not know about, but there is a, what do they call it, a covenant of civility. over a decade ago that there were some faith leaders and members of Congress that came together, and it wasn't about 10 years ago, and with both church and government, they came up with a covenant for this civility, to be civil, to be actually ambassadors of one another, to build a bridge. These are members of Congress speaking also as people of faith who long for the church to step up into diminishing discord, trouble, problems. And so they came up with this covenant. And I read the covenant, and it's like, oh, my God, that should be posted somewhere. It should be said in the church. It should, we should be reminded of it, and it's straight out to Scripture. And I know time is gone, but I just want to read it really quick. The church in the United States, this is the covenant. It says, part of what it says, the church in the United States can offer a message of hope and reconciliation to a nation that is deeply divided. Too often, however, we have reflected the political division of our culture rather than the unity we have in the body of Christ. It says, we pledge that when we disagree, we will do so, and I read part of that, respectively, without falsely improving. We will therefore be completely humble and gentle. We will ever be mindful of the language we use in expressing our disagreement, being neither arrogant nor boastful in our belief. Before destruction, one's heart is haughty, but humility goes before honor. We believe that it is more difficult to hate others, even our adversaries and our enemies, when we are praying for them, others, those with whom we agree and those with whom we disagree, so that together we may strive to be faithful witnesses to our Lord, who prayed that we might be one. And so it is such a mandate that is upon us to be peacemakers. Because peacemakers will be called the children of God. How else will they know that we have a God that we've been reconciled with, unless we can even reconcile with one another here on earth? There's so many things in this chapter of peacemaking. I have little stars on it. They have 10 practices of peacemakers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's support, and this is just in general as well as our in society, okay? But it's like support, nonviolent, direct action. Be supportive of the thing that doesn't include violence. Take independent initiatives to reduce a threat. When someone goes, you know what, I'm going to give them opinions, then you do something creative to reduce that threat. Well, you know what? Why don't we then do something that's, and bring into that situation something that's positive? Use cooperative conflict resolution. Acknowledge for conflicts and injustices and seek repentance and forgiveness. Advance democracy, human rights. It's just right. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Foster just and sustainable economic development. And you know what? Get a budget. Really. And then it's just as simple as that. You get a budget, then we don't have so much anxiety. And when you don't have so much anxiety, you're able to flow more in harmony even with the people around you. Sometimes we get so upset because it's our economic position being threatened. It's like she said, you know, let's go to come to the birthday party. It's only $600, okay? And you go, well, you know, I can't do that because I'm doing this, okay? But as we develop something that is able, we're able to do it, and then we're keeping to it, then we'll have a peace to it,
okay? And there's some other things, and I think that we just, if we do that scripture, Ephesians 5, meditate on that. And yeah. Read it in different, and I believe that we have all of the weapons, ammunition, that's what I would say. All the ammunition we need to be peacemakers.
And that was also, Isaiah 58:69 and Ephesians 5, right?
Yes, that's it. Isaiah 59 in the voice version. That really is very, really punch you good in the voice version for that Isaiah 58:69. All right. Anybody
Thank
else? Questions, comments, insights?
All right.
Well, I thank everybody for sharing. Well, next week we're going to talk about discipleship. Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, you are members of my family. You did it to me. There we go. So look up that Matthew 25:40. The question of discipleship. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you revelation. That you never had before about this scripture. Yeah. So we thank everybody. Remember, and laborers, the men are in charge and they're serving something. I forget what it is, but they're serving
Polish.
Polish. Yes, yes. So come out, not just for the food, but for the fellowship and the fun. And for the men, bring a man, find one, find a male,
okay?
No matter how old, and bring them to church to share and support the men of Laborers for Christ. God bless you, and I think that's all. So,
God bless. God bless.
God bless. Thank you for sharing. Positive. Powerful.
Hey, Overseer. Hello and goodbye all in the same voice.
Well, hello. Man. And I don't know who said the Samuel, but you're going to have to tell us about Samuel next week, how he's an intercessor, a peacemaker.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's me. I said Daniel and Samuel, so that was me.
Okay. Well, thank you.
So
well,
thank I'll read Samuel and see why I picked Samuel, okay?
Okay, that sounds great. No, that's wonderful. Thank you for sharing. Very powerful. Give us a revelation. Amen.
Okay.
Peace, man. Amen. All right, then. All right. Good day, everybody. Love you guys.
Good day. Love you.
Amen.
Amen.